began with it talking about the idea of thinking about the our lives as being a movie or a drama that is unfolding. And we talked about the idea of in any kind of a drama, whether it's a play or a movie or whatever, that there is a director of that. And the director is the one who decides what the roles are. The director is the one who picks, you know, who's going to fill each role and so forth for the drama. And he assigns those roles. And then we talked about the fact that God is the director of this drama that we are in. And remember, we've talked about it in different contexts, and think about it in terms of it's a movie, okay? But it's a movie about God, all right? And it's not a movie about us. It's a movie about him. And he is the director of that movie. And Amen. So God is the one who gets to decide who plays what roles in his movie.
Amen.
And he's the one who assigns those different roles for us in his movie. And so our part is then to understand the role that he has given to each of us and to follow through on that role, to do the role that he has given to us and assign us to it. One of the things that we saw over in 1 Corinthians is the fact that specifically within the body, that God has assigned or placed each part of the body, Paul says, exactly as he wants them to be. And that's one of the main things we have to keep in mind, that God is the one who gets to assign who does what role. All right? So our part then is to accept the role that God has assigned and play that role as he directs us to play it.
Amen.
It's not our place to decide we don't want to play that role or we don't like, let's change it this way or that way. He's already decided. As the director, he gets to decide that. So we need to play the role as he directs us to do that. So then we were talking last week about specifically looking at, okay, the role of women in the kingdom of God, not just within what goes on within the church, but within the kingdom as a whole. And not just the role of women, but we've been throughout this study talking about the role of everybody. What role do men have? What role do women have? And so forth. But it's about understanding what our role is and following through and playing out that role that God has assigned us to do with that. So we looked at, in Ephesians chapter 5, what Paul says here about women, wives submitting to their husbands and submitting in everything there. But the key here that we talked about with that last week is emphasizing, we like to use this and say, oh, this is, you know, about marriage relationship. But it is primarily, and the thing we focused on last week, Paul says, this is about Christ and the church. Okay? When he's talking about these roles that he has assigned, and he's using the example of a marriage relationship, Paul says he's talking about Christ and his church and the way that that relationship is to be and the roles that he has assigned for us within the body of the church. So Christ is the head of the church. He's the one that decides how things are to be, and it is for all of us to submit to him in his leadership or headship role of the church. And then we talked about the idea of lesser or different. If this, and we get, you know, this idea of being submissive to someone. Okay, our society says if you got to submit to someone, then you're a lesser person. Then you're, you know, nobody. I don't want to submit to anybody. I'm not going to submit to anyone because that makes me not as important. Well, we need to understand, biblically speaking, that's not true. Okay, so we were talking about this particular question: lesser or different, because the woman is to be in submission to the man, does that mean her role is less than the man's? That's a question we talked about last week. And we said, no, it's not a lesser role, it's just a different role. This is not a matter of who's better or worse or anything of that nature. It's a matter of different roles that God has assigned to us to do. Both roles are equal in importance to God's plan. That's a part we've got to understand. This is God's plan. It's God's movie. It's his drama.
Amen.
Okay? And he's assigned the roles the way he wants them to be so that his plan works the way he designed it to work. All right? And when we get that part down, then, you know, the issues that we have over these things with, you know, the role of women in the church and what we can and can't do and all that, and the argument and the splits, the division and all those things, and we'll talk more about that in just a few minutes, none of those things become issues anymore, you see? Because we're focusing on God's plan and what God wants rather than what we want in all of that, okay? So then in answer to that question further, we said, looking at what Paul says here, I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, but the head of Christ is God. Okay?
Amen.
So with that and understanding that, who would argue then that Christ has a lesser role than the Father in the Godhead? We certainly see that Christ was submissive to the Father while he was here.
Amen.
Okay? We looked at the passage in John 6 where Jesus himself says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." And so Jesus was submissive to the Father, right? But that doesn't make him a lesser part of the Godhead or the Trinity. Right? It means he had a different role. Okay? Then we come to where we are this morning. We're going to finish up this study this morning. So focusing on, because this is where the real question was, the role of women in the church. What can women do and what can they not do? And that's really what it is. What are women allowed to do, okay, in the church? All right? Well, here's a really good answer, I think, just to start out with. They're allowed to do anything they're not prohibited from doing. Okay? All right. Let's talk about the next topic. Who wants to... No, just teasing. But if you think about it, okay, there are certain things that women are prohibited specifically in the Scriptures from doing. And so, would we all agree that they are not allowed to do those things? Okay, everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so what kinds of things? Well, first of all, as we've talked about already in this study, women are not allowed to teach or to have authority over a man. Paul specifically states that. So are women allowed to teach to teach Bible classes involving men? No.
No.
Are they allowed to preach to the church?
No.
No. Why? Because the Bible specifically prohibits them from doing that. All right? Again, has absolutely nothing to do with, as we talked about in that part of our discussion, doesn't have a thing in the world to do with abilities or talents or any of those things, or lesser or better or anything else. It has to do with, this is what God said he wants to be. He gave that role to men, not to women. So they are prohibited from doing those things. So therefore, that's something they cannot do and are not allowed to do. How about being church elders? We see that happening in churches around today, where women are elders in the church and so forth. Well, I'm not exactly sure how that is accomplished when what the Bible says, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife. Okay, so does that not specifically prohibit a woman from serving as an elder in the Lord's church? Okay, because there's no way that I know of for a woman to be a man. First of all, she's not a man, she is a woman, okay? And that's the first qualification. She has to be a man in order to be an elder, and no way for a woman to be the husband of one wife. Okay, So by those statements there, does that not specifically exclude that particular position from the role of women in the church?
Yeah.
Everybody in agreement with that?
Yeah.
Okay. What about deacons? Okay. A deacon must be husband of but one wife and must manage his children and his household well. Okay? So, again, does that not specifically exclude women from being in that position as a deacon?
That's right.
All right? So these are things that specifically the Bible prohibits women from doing in the church, either by specific statement, I do not permit a woman to do this, or by the qualifying factors of those. Either way, these are roles that women are not permitted by God to play within the church.
Amen.
Everybody agree with that? Any question? About that at all? Why did God prohibit women from doing this? Why?
Because of Eve.
Okay. But
because
the woman transgressed. But more than anything, because he's God, okay? Because he's God. He gets to decide the roles, right? All right? And that's what he decided. He didn't say, in this case, I don't want women being deacons or don't want women being elders. He said, I want the men to do that. So in assigning the roles, does everybody understand how this is? In assigning those roles to women, then it automatically excludes, or to men rather, it automatically excludes those roles to women. Okay? So those are things that they are not allowed to do within the church. Well, people bring up and say, well, what about Phoebe? Romans chapter 16 and verse 1. They'll bring up and say, well, Phoebe, she was, in some translations, it uses the word deaconess. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is at Centuria. The word there instead of servant in some translations is deaconess. So are women allowed to be deaconesses?
My neighbor says so.
Okay. What do y'all think?
I think they're allowed to serve. But I don't know about the title.
Okay. Well, the word in the Greek language, diakonos, that's the word for deacon, literally means a servant. That's what it means. So are women allowed to be servants? Absolutely. Would there be anything biblically wrong with us referring to a woman as a deaconess? What? That's what she is. Okay? A servant. All right? The difference here between a woman who would be a servant or a deaconess, it's a Greek word, it's in the Bible, there's nothing wrong with using it. But the difference that, as I see it from what the Scriptures teach, is that God specifically has assigned a role to men within the church as a position, a specific position to serve in the church.
Amen.
Okay? Where there are specific qualifications that are given for that man to serve as a deacon. I don't know of anywhere in the Scriptures where there are specific qualifications or a position, okay, within the church as there is with an elder or a deacon for deaconesses. Okay? I haven't found that in the Scriptures anywhere. So as far as a formal office or position with specific qualifications, can in other words, could we have a board of deaconesses in the church? No, I don't believe so, because the Scripture does not authorize that. There's nothing like it does with deacons to say, if you want to be a deacon, here's the qualifications. It says, if you want to be a deaconess, here's the qualifications. It's not there. Does that make sense? Okay. But can we have deaconesses?
Well, according to being a servant, yes.
The answer should be, or the answer, real answer is, we should have deaconesses. Okay? We need to have deaconesses. We need to have women who are willing to be servants. Okay? Now, whether we refer to them as deaconesses or not is really up to us.
And within the churches of Christ, our tradition is that we don't do that. Okay? Now, if we decided to do that as a church body, would there be anything scripturally wrong with that? No, because that's what they are. That's what the word means, okay? We're just using the Greek word instead of the English word to refer to the same exact person. But if we decided we wanted to put together a board and make it a formal and have qualifications and all that the Bible does not authorize, that would not be permissive. Charlotte?
Yeah, I guess that's what, in my mind, if we were to call ourselves deacons, we're going to be serving as doing
right.
Basically what we're doing now. We just don't carry the name.
Exactly.
I know we wouldn't do it in here. I don't know about other churches, but I know it wouldn't happen here. So I think that's the difference in trying to explain. If I have to explain deaconess because I have been asked about deaconess,
right? Yeah.
So now I know the meaning of the word, but it's still not going to make any difference to them because they are women actually lead where we
right.
Would do that.
And again, and that's why I wanted us to look at this part of the discussion is because there are so many of you know, and you have contacts in other churches where that's the practice. And there is a board of deaconesses, and they have certain authority, and they have authority over men in those roles and so forth. Those things are not authorized in Scripture to do. But to just simply refer to a woman as a deaconess who is a servant, biblically speaking, there's nothing wrong with that because that's what the word means, okay? So we have to make sure we understand that difference in that.
Well, what about women calling themselves co-pastors because their husband is mm-hmm. the pastor?
Right.
They call themselves co-pastors.
Right.
I don't get that.
Well, Cindy, is the first lady here in the church, right? that's just a joke. People around here, because of that association we know that's... That people have joked around about. That's all it is. We don't take that seriously at all. Again, go back to, and this is where you're able to distinguish and figure out, is that okay, is it not? Well, what is a pastor? Okay? A pastor refers to the same group of men, okay, as elders, as shepherds, as bishops, okay, in the Scriptures. So in order for a woman to be a pastor, she would also have to be those other things. And we've already seen she's not qualified to do that. So for her to be a co-pastor, no, it's not biblical. See? Wes?
I'm just a little bit confused. Maybe because I'm sorry I came in late. But from where I stand, hearing what you just said, there's specific details as to the roles of deacons and elders.
Right.
But the Bible makes mention of a woman being a servant. Is there any specific detail of what the servant duties are or qualifications?
No, that's what I was saying is with the men's role as deacons and with elders, there are, as you said, there's qualifications that are given. In order for them to be able to be recognized as that, and to serve in that capacity, they have to meet those qualifications,
mm-hmm.
okay? But there's nothing in the Scriptures that indicates that a woman needs to qualify in these specific ways in order to be a deaconess, okay? So then, therefore, because the word in the Greek language for servant is diakonos, which is deaconess is the female part of the word deacon, okay, then... She's a servant, then technically speaking, she's a deacon, or a deaconess, rather. It's just a word we don't typically use within the churches of Christ in our fellowship. Okay? But I think it is good for folks to know and understand that because, again, you know many people in some of these churches around here that are serving in that capacity, and the questions come up. You need to know how to answer that. Does that clear it up for you? So her being a deaconess... is just do what?
No, but okay, that word
diakonos, right?
That means servant,
right?
What's the Greek word for deacon?
Diakonos.
So it carries two meanings.
Well, it's the Greek word that is translated deacon or deaconess. Okay. But it refers to those who are servants.
Okay.
That's why when you go and you read about the role of the deacons in the church, and especially in Acts, what is the role that they are given? It is a role of servanthood.
Right.
Okay? Where the role of the elders, the shepherds, okay, is what?
Guiding.
It's a role of leadership. Okay? And so that's where that comes from. A deacon is a servant. So a female servant would be a deaconess.
Okay.
The only difference, again, is just that with the male's role within the church, there are specific qualifications. If a man does not meet those qualifications, he can't serve as a deacon. Okay? All right? So, but there are no specific roles for a woman to be a deaconess. There's no role. There's no group recognized within the body of the church of deaconesses. They're just servants. Okay? All right, Taz and then Lynette here. I'm sorry? Oh. Uh-huh. Well, I would get up and leave. Okay? I would not, because I'm not pleasing the Lord by, you know, submitting myself to what the Lord had. Does everybody hear what Brian was asking? Everybody hear his question? He was asking if we were invited to visit a church somewhere and a woman got up and she was the preacher, what should we do? And I said, I would leave. I'm not going to disobey the Lord. You see, because that command in terms of women not teaching or having authority over men is just for the men just as much as it is a woman. Okay? Because, again, what's the problem? Then what I'm doing is I'm putting myself in submission to that woman, which God has told me not to do.
There you go.
You see? So no, I'm not gonna stay and do that. And again, it has nothing to do with say, well, you don't think she's good enough? That's not the point. Okay? The point is that's what God has said He wants things to do. And the other part of that, Brian, and for all of you, is to realize, you know what? If that church is erring in that serious of an issue, what else are they erring in? You see, and so no, I'm not gonna submit myself and subject myself to that.
That includes women on TV too.
Absolutely, Lynette, you had a hand up, and Chuck over here.
I was just gonna say, like with this term deaconess, I think a lot of denominations that use that, it's about a power structure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because they use that as a launching pad for, you know, their power, their control, whatever.
Right.
Whereas, you know, it doesn't mean that.
Right. And what they have done, and there's, in a sense, it's the old proverbial opening the can of worms. Because what do you have to do in those situations to be a member of that deaconess board? Are there qualifications that you have to meet? Or do they just let anybody do it?
No, you got to know something.
Okay, well, where did those qualifications come from? Say, they certainly didn't come from God, like the qualifications of a deacon did. So you see, you just keep letting that ball roll, and it picks up a whole lot more dirt, doesn't it? You see, because again, once you stray off of the way of doing things God's way, then where does it stop? You see, and you just run into all kinds of more, you know, problems and so forth with that. Chuck, and then Dale. All right.
Funerals and weddings. Did you run into that?
Yeah.
Your family.
I have.
Got an opinion on that?
Well, that's a difficult situation because I have been in that situation many times in funerals that I have asked to be a part of in this area where, you know, and one of the things. And this is a black cultural thing, where you know if you have a funeral with that is predominantly a black congregation, what's one of the things that they want to do concerning the ministers? Do what? Yeah, they want all the ministers to be up, you know, in the front and so forth. I don't like that anyway, okay, because it's not about me, all right? But that's one of the things that they like to do. And of course, then there's a lot of them who they have the women ministers that are, you know, doing the part in the service and so forth. Well, I don't have any control over that. I'm there to represent the family, or I've been asked to do a specific thing within that.
Amen.
You know, that's a situation where I'm not going to tell this family, I'm sorry, but I can't be there, and I'm not going to support you in your grief and so forth because this woman is not. I'm separating those two things and just saying, I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to support this family, what they're doing, and all of that. Now, I will say this: we've had funerals here, okay. And we've had some women ministers that wanted to participate, not happening. Not going to happen. Not on my home turf.
No.
See, I have a say about that. I don't have a say in these others, but on my turf, it's not happening. Okay.
Amen.
If you want to have a part where you get up, the families ask you to get up and say something, that's fine. But we're not, you know, recognizing you as Reverend so and so and all that kind of stuff. Not here. Say, because that's no. We're not gonna encourage that and do things the Bible tells us not to do, simply because that's what they want to do. Don't have any control over it there, but on our turf, that we control that. Okay,
amen.
Chuck, and then Dale, and then Jerry.
Okay, a couple of things from the position to the brothers and sisters. John 8 and. 51 verse 31. What Christ said to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, sister, and this is where I brought this up. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When we have that opportunity, like our sister has, and like you have, like those certain things, and even in family situations where it's uncomfortable, who do we go on to? Who do we represent? Who gave you that opportunity to let your light shine for him? Even in the difficult situation, that's our responsibility.
Right, yeah.
It's our obligation. It is our privilege to do so, to stand up and be firm for the man who went to the cross and took every nail blow, may every strike for him. So I encourage you that when you see that opportunity, stand firm.
Right.
God is with you in those situations. Pray for wisdom. Pray for compassion. Pray for guidance that you will serve
right.
Him in the right way, even in those uncomfortable situations. He loves you first. You love him back.
Yeah.
Kathy and I, because of our travels, we typically, like probably most of the brothers in here do, open up the phone book if you remember what one of those looked like. We'd open up the phone book, Church of Christ, and depending on where the hotel was, boom, there you go. Brother, we got some eye opener.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just because the title's there doesn't mean
yeah.
that they are.
Yeah. And we're going to talk more about that specific thing here in just a minute
again,
with
just,
some of these issues and so forth.
Again,
yeah.
If you're going with your example of what you had to go through, one time we went through a fellowship of a brother. Singing was what we were accustomed to. We had a male preacher. Gospel, and they had the Lord's Supper toward the end. Now this is where the switch came on. Men went up there and they prayed over the Lord's table. Then as they were serving, ladies came across the along the back side of the wall there
mm-hmm.
and they were handing out the tray.
Okay.
It's just something different. They didn't say a word. And they were serving. So again,
hang on to that thought because that's something specifically I've got on here for us to talk about. All right? Okay.
I wanted to share that with everyone that day.
Yeah.
But because the title's there doesn't mean that it is right. And then we are the same opinion, too, that if you come to understand that, no, this is in complete violation of God's purpose, His will, get up and leave.
Okay. All right, Dale?
This starts to overlap into a similar problem where people start wanting to wear titles in the church. When we start having to put reserve parking spaces for Deacon McLaughlin and Deacon Burnett.
Yeah.
Because they want to wear it as a title.
Or preacher parking only.
Yeah, preacher parking only. But
violators will be baptized.
But some people like to wear these titles because it makes them feel important. When I'm Bishop so-and-so or I'm Pastor so-and-so. You know, I've always thought of that as being a job description, not a job title.
Right.
This is what I do. It's not who I am.
Right.
I think that's where people want to wear the title of deacon or deaconess.
Right.
Is where this gets to be a problem.
And you know, we run into that also. I run into it all the time in terms of reverend. You know, all the other preachers reverend this, and I refuse to use that title for myself, and I refuse to use it to acknowledge other people. That title is for one person and one person only, and that's Jesus Christ. And you may consider yourself to be a reverend, but I'm going to call you Mr. if you don't have another title. Now, you want to call me Russ, you want to call me, you know, Mr. Urich, you want to call me Dr. Urich, that's fine. And that's what I tell, you know, the funeral homes, do not put reverend in front of my name. I don't use it. I don't want that in front of my name. I don't want it associated with my name because that's not who I am. This is Reverend Shirley so-and-so, or this is Reverend, you know, Dale. You know, no, I'm not going to acknowledge that title because I think it's unbiblical. Okay? Jerry, you had a comment a moment ago?
I was just going to refer back to something that Lynette said. The irony of the fact that the deaconess thing, as we all familiar with it in today's world, is a power thing. You know, they won't. Have an association where they have a power or an opposite.
Or title, like Dale's saying,
title. You know. But in fact, deaconess means servant, which is the opposite of power.
Right, exactly.
It's the
exactly.
opposite of power.
Yeah. And they're missing the whole
opposite,
point. Yeah, missing the whole point. Okay. Now, I'm sorry. In fact, the only place I know of that it's translated that way is in Romans 16. That's the only place I know of in the Scripture that is translated as that. Right. I think part of the problem is taking in and building something out of it that never was intended by God to be. Okay. But again, my point, and I think most of you know me well enough by now, hopefully you do, to know that I am a stickler for what does the Bible say. Okay? I don't care what tradition has always said. I don't care what we've always done or believed and all of those kinds of things. I want to know what does the Bible say. Okay? Because that's what's going to judge us in the end, not what Brother So-and-so said in his commentary on this or whatever the case may be. Okay? So that's why I say, if I want to make sure that you don't misunderstand me here. If, for whatever reason, this body of believers decided, the elders and the body said, hey, you know, we don't have a problem with referring to Sister So-and-so, who is a great servant, as a deaconess, there is nothing biblically wrong with that in terms of using that word. Okay? Now, let's go to address one of the things you brought up here, Chuck. This whole issue of women serving on the Lord's table. Okay? Because we have a lot of churches, brotherhood churches, that are doing that now. All right? Biblical or unbiblical? Ooh, everybody's afraid to say. Okay?
Does
the Bible prohibit it? That's the real issue. We're talking about the role of women in the church, and we said, what are women allowed to do? Anything that they're not prohibited from doing. And I don't know of anything in the Scriptures that specifically would prohibit a woman from serving in that capacity. Okay? Now, leading the Lord's table? No, because that we recognize that as what? A position of authority, don't we?
Right.
Okay? But the other folks on the table, what are they doing?
Serving.
They're serving. In fact, that's how we refer to it when we're lining them up. We're going, who's serving on the table? Okay? So we had a question came up, I don't know, a couple of years ago about, because we had ladies that were back here in the back that when communion was served, they would take those and go and serve the people in the nursery or what have you. Somebody says, well, why are we allowing women to do that? They're not supposed to be doing that. They're just serving. They're just, all they're doing is being servants. They're just serving. And what's the difference in that lady taking that communion plate from here and going to the nursery and a woman that's sitting in the pew and passing that plate from herself to the next person? What's the difference? I don't see any difference at all. They're serving is all they're doing, okay? But, some of you are sitting here going, oh, no, here we go. He's going to advocate. Let's start getting women up here. No. No. Because in all of these things we're talking about, and I want to finish up, make sure we have time to finish up with this. Here's, to me, the overriding factor in all of the, I'm just going to refer to it as disputable matters, okay? Issues where we have some freedom. In other words, the Bible doesn't prohibit that, okay? But our traditions within the brotherhood say that's just not something that we do. It's not something we're accustomed to. And here's the bottom line. I feel like 99.9% sure that if we decided we wanted to introduce that and put women as serving on the Lord's table, I'm talking about meeting up front, you know, with the others and going down the aisle, that would cause division in the church. Okay? And so that's what we... one other thing here real quick to go through, this other slide here. What are women allowed to do then? Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and so forth. So are women allowed to teach? Sure they are. They're encouraged to teach. They're told to teach. That's a capacity, a thing that women are allowed and told to do within the Scriptures. You see? They just can't teach or have authority over men. And by the way, one thing, I won't charge you anything extra for this, okay? Just because a 10 or 11 or 12-year-old boy gets baptized into Christ, okay, he does not become a man. All right? So baptism, as far as I know from the Scriptures, does not instill manhood. It takes away sins. Okay? And the reason I say that is because, again, one of the big things that we have with women is we have a woman who's teaching a kid's Bible class, and we have a boy that gets baptized. Now, all of a sudden, she can't teach the class anymore. Why? Because we got a man in there. Excuse me.
I get it. Okay.
No. Okay? That's not what baptism does, all right? Okay, so we need to keep that in mind. Those are the things that women are allowed to do and so forth. Now, let's talk about then this whole thing where we were. It comes down to an issue of unity. The Bible may not prohibit us from doing some of these things, all right? Not in and of themselves, but what it does do, as Paul says here, that he says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you do what? Agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you. Okay? So, if we are doing things that maybe the Bible doesn't, you know, it doesn't, we have freedom there, one way or another. We can do it or we cannot do it. Biblically speaking, there would be nothing that I can see from the Scriptures that would prohibit a woman from serving on the Lord's table. Not that in and of itself, except this right here. Because it would cause division within the church. And that, I know, is wrong.
Amen.
You see? And so for that reason, we should not. Paul says, avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law. Isn't that what that kind of stuff is? Okay, he says, avoid that stuff, okay? Because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn, okay, warn a divisive person once, then warn him a second time, and after that have nothing to do with him. That's how seriously God looks at division in the church.
Amen.
Okay? So we have to weigh those things out and say, well, you know, biblically there may not be anything that prohibits that in and of itself, but we know that based on where we are, that if we try to do that, we're going to cause division in the church. And we know that in itself is wrong. Okay? So does everybody understand what I'm saying with that?
Oh, yeah.
So that's where we have to sometimes make those decisions on these things. There are a lot of things that in the churches of Christ, we just don't do those things. We have a lot of folks who are pushing the envelope in the churches. You know, so those who are forcing that issue, saying there's nothing wrong with women serving and on the table, so we're going to allow them to do it. And they've caused a lot of division in the church. You see? And those are things that God is going to call those people to account for because they're stirring up division within the Lord's church.
Amen.
And if we can continue going the way that we're going without causing the division, then why stir things up?
Amen.
You see? And I think that's the way that we need to look at those kinds of things that are controversies, that are differences over what we do and so forth. Okay? Somehow that got on. Let me just, having said all of that, okay, that as far as women serving on the Lord's table and doing those kinds of things, it's not going to happen on my watch. Okay, I want you to be like, Russ coming in, he's going to change. No. No.
No.
We're not going to go there. You see? Simply because, again, I know that if we did, it would cause division. And I know that that's wrong.
But there's another aspect.
Go ahead, Denise, real quick.
Because if I, as a woman, go up there and serve, I'm taking away a man's opportunity to serve. There are men that's what they do here because... Yeah. They may not feel comfortable leading singing or leading the Lord's Supper, but that is
right.
One of the things that they can do to serve.
Right. Absolutely.
And if I do that, then I've taken away their ability to serve, and I have other ways that
exactly.
I can serve. And I think that's what we overlook sometimes
yeah.
is that
Amen.
There are a lot of different cogs in this gear here that and
absolutely.
Each of us can feel something.
Absolutely.
And if we put women on the table, it would just be just to push the envelope. That's
yeah.
the only reason for
exactly.
it. We have enough men here to do it, don't
right.
we?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, the main thing is for us to be able to look at the Scripture and see, what does the Scripture say? All right? And then to be able to discern from that, okay, so what do we do? What do we do? What do we not do? And so forth. And again, this is one of the overriding factors. Okay? Well, I may be allowed to do something, but if it's going to cause division, then no, I'm not allowed to do it. Okay? All right, Holloway had his hand up real quick. We're past time here, but I want to give everybody opportunity to... All right?
This is our opportunity as men, too, to serve the ladies. They do so much for us all
absolutely.
Week long. It's our opportunity to show our appreciation and to say, you sit, we'll take care of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, I want to encourage you in all of this. If nothing else you got out of this whole study we've been doing... Think about it in terms of the roles that God has assigned, okay, in His drama, okay? And realize that what He calls upon us to do is to fulfill the role that He has given each of us. Whether it be a Bible class teacher or an elder or a deacon or a deaconess, okay? Whatever that role is, that we are committed to filling that role. And don't worry about wanting to do somebody else's role, because that's not the role God gave you, you see? And so in order to please Him and to make His plan work, we need to fulfill the role He has given to us. I hope that the things that I've covered in this study have been helpful in answering some of those questions that people have over these things. If you still have more questions about it, come see me. We'll talk about it some more. But I hope that we've been able to accomplish that in this study that we've done. All right? Thank you all very much.